Fox News and the Wall Street Journal have both obtained the search warrant and the list of property that was seized, all the physical documents. We are looking at 20 boxes of material that was taken off the premises, and a significant number of those boxes, four sets of documents, had a top secret designation, what they call TSSCI. That stands for Top Secret Sensitive Compartmented Information. These are things that you normally would have to be in a secure skiff and also free of any recording devices or computers in order to view. It's very highly managed and highly sensitive documents. So, yes, there was material there that the FBI and the Department of Justice was apparently concerned about. Does that put President Trump in some criminal exposure? Let's learn more about it from our former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan and now practicing in Hodgman, Matthew Schneider. Matthew, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Guy.
I know that you have been checking the docket. You know, we don't know where Fox News or the Journal obtained these documents. It could have been from Team Trump. It could have been from sources within the Department of Justice. But I know you were checking the docket. As of this moment, that search warrant has not been unsealed officially, has it?
Well, it just was minutes ago.
It was? Okay. When you texted me a few minutes ago, that wasn't the case.
Yep.
So that's breaking news.
Yes. And it looks like the stakes are quite a bit higher now. So what has been unsealed is the search warrant itself, and then the attachments to the search warrant, which is the description of the location. We all know that. That's Mar-a-Lago. And then it talks about the things to be seized, and it also includes the receipt of the property taken. Now, the stakes are just got elevated here because what we've been talking about is whether or not the president had violated this law about presidential records, and that's either a 3 or 5 year legal penalty. What this document says is they're investigating defense records. They're looking at whether he apparently did have top secret classified information, and the penalties for that are much higher. You're talking about up to 20 years in prison for having these items.
So when you look at this material, we know that there was the Washington Post report saying that some of this was in regards to America's nuclear secrets as well. With these security classifications that you're seeing on these documents, I know that we don't have that level of detail either in the search warrant. That would be in the affidavit. Do you see anything here that would confirm that report?
No, there's nothing in these documents that talk about the type of materials other than they're classified. Their classification levels. But that in itself is significant. I mean, if you think about how you classify documents, I like to use it as this description. If something is secret, that means, you know, there are spies and spies exist. If something is top secret, it's kind of like, here are what the spies are doing in general terms. If something is top secret SCI, which is sensitive compartmentalized information, that's equivalent to knowing, here's the spies, here's what they're doing, and here's their names. And that is exceptionally harmful. If that material got into the hands of our enemies, it would cause what the government calls exceptionally grave damage. And what the records reflect is that that type of material was in the president's possession, and it shouldn't have been.
So a Trump spokesperson, after this report, these reports came out, and they may have been the source of these reports, are still calling this unprecedented and unnecessary. Does the level of seriousness of the material that was taken out, which we see in this property list, does that undermine the lack of necessity?
Well, it certainly was unprecedented. There's no doubt about that. Question was it necessary? And anytime somebody possesses these types of documents, I mean, it depends a little bit about what they are, but if it's classified at that level and it's not in a government secured location, there's always a risk that that could slip into somebody else's hands. I mean, we don't know who attends events at Mar-a-Lago, but sometimes that could be people from foreign countries or people who, you know, who shouldn't have that type of information. So, yeah, I mean, this is quite notable that that information was in there. There's a caveat here that the president himself can declassify information.
I was going to ask you about that. And that's been really the one thing that his lawyers have said, is that it's not top secret because he declassified it. Yet there is a process for that, and we don't know yet whether that process was followed, correct?
That's correct. And as with this case, with other cases, you know, we have to stop from jumping to conclusions because we don't have those answers, right? And we should hear from the Trump legal team about, well, what was the process? Did you actually do that? They're saying that they didn't. We don't know. But look, this story changes by the minute, and it's going to be even more interesting this weekend, I'm sure.
In terms of the president's criminal exposure, can the president plead ignorance here and say with some justification, look, I didn't pack those boxes. I didn't oversee the packing when we left the White House. Obviously, it was a chaotic time, and I don't do the grunt work, I guess, could be his defense. How much accountability does he really have here when looking at a 20-year felony?
Well, he certainly didn't pack those boxes up himself, but somebody did, and somehow they landed in his personal residence, right? So that's one of the unknowns that we don't know. It's also another thing to say that, look, he might have possessed this information, but, you know, to actually bring a charge and then go through the whole criminal justice system, let's say the president were charged with a crime, I'm sure he's not going to plead guilty, right? He would fight that. That whole long process would be very agonizing on the country. It just would. And I think it would be an unbelievable event in the United States history.
He has said, look, if they would have only asked for these documents, I would have cooperated and I would have given them up. But we have reports out there saying that these materials were subpoenaed, or something like them, materials were subpoenaed back in June, and actually that some documents were transferred at the time, but apparently that things were withheld. What do you think happened here?
So that is really the question behind why they had to get a search warrant. And normally, if this happens, what you do is you go through a normal negotiation process or a discussion process, and the evidence suggests that that actually happened, that the Justice Department or people from the National Archives had discussions with Trump's lawyers, and they had these conversations, and then perhaps a subpoena was delivered. And then there's been discussion in the media about a grand jury was delivered so that they can produce the documents. What a search warrant means to me is that the Justice Department did not trust the fact that they were getting all the materials. It says, we don't trust that you've given us enough, and we don't trust that if we're going to ask you for it, that you're not going to destroy it. That's why people get search warrants, so that they can go in and take items, because there's a lack of trust. And that appears to be what the basis was here.
Matthew, I've got to let you go, but the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association, the professional association that represents 31,000 federal law enforcement officers and agents, issued a statement saying that all week long, they've been getting extreme threats of violence. We saw the attack on the FBI office down in Cincinnati that led to the death of the gunman. Talk to me about some of the extraordinarily reckless speech that we have seen online. And should the former president be telling his so-called supporters, if they are indeed that, to muzzle?
Yes, nobody should be threatening any law enforcement agents over this. I mean, Merrick Garland in his press conference mentioned the fact that he stands behind the agents and the hardworking men and women on the line. Nothing about this has anything to do with those men and women on the line in law enforcement. This is really an issue about the former president and the leadership of the Justice Department who made this decision, right? So it just doesn't make any sense to take this out on a line level FBI agent, and certainly not a local police officer. That makes no sense, and that should never happen.
Right, and we've actually had people call for their deaths online. I mean, it is just it's such a frustrating time, and the level of incendiary rhetoric that we're seeing out there. Matthew, we thank you so much.
Thank you, Guy. Have a great weekend.
Take care. You too. And thank you so much for your insights. It is deeply appreciated. It's 4:15 on News Talk 760.